bless you one more time, and I'm so glad to have you on Wisdom for Women. I believe that today you'll be very encouraged by what we're going to be talking about. I believe that the Lord is going to really touch you and touch your marriage. If you notice, in the past few weeks, most of our series have been on marriage and how to make sure that your marriage is enjoyable and blissful, because that's what God planned originally for you. As a matter of fact, today we would really love for the men, I know this is Wisdom for Women, but if your husband is anywhere around you, please encourage him to sit down and give him something nice to drink so that he can listen to this with you. I'm really glad and feel really honored that I can come into your home, into the privacy of your home, to talk to you and to speak into your marriage. I count it an honor. Sincerely, I don't take this lightly. It's a privilege for me to speak to you and to talk to your marriage and to speak life into your home. I count it as a privilege and an honor. Thank you so very much. You know, every time I do this, I just say, Lord, you're a good God. And you're a faithful God to give me such honor to speak to God's people. The Bible tells us, it is not unto him that willeth, nor unto him that runneth, but unto God who shows mercy. Lord, I thank you for this mercy that I can speak into God's people. Amen. Today we want to look at the topic, the power of unity. So that's why I've asked that if your husband is around, that you please encourage him to listen to this. I believe it will move your marriage to the next level. And I believe a lot of things that you may have been struggling with will be sorted out. I thank the Lord that I've been married for 18 years to one man. And I thank the Lord for the honor also for that. So I've come with a wealth of experience. I'm not yet there. I'm still learning. And some of the things I'll be talking about are things that I've learned in my own journey and in my own process. Amen. So why don't you go with me to the scriptures? I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2, where we're going to look at the original plan. What did God have in mind before he set up marriage? You know, he is the first one that set up marriage. He started it all, so we can't do it outside of him. The statistics tell us that 50% of marriages today are heading for the rocks, but I know that your marriage is not going to be a part of this negative statistics, because God is in it. You may not have started it with God, but today you found God and you've given God the permission to come in. And whenever God comes, you know, the best thing he knows how to do is to mend broken pieces, is to bring it up together and then make it look so beautiful. You'll never know that it was ever broken. So glory be to God. I want you to please go with me to Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. And verse 18 tells us, we're now looking at the original plan, what God intended for marriage originally. And the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And that word alone there means, it is not good for man to be all in one. Alone is two words put together. It's not good for man to be all in one. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. So God originally intended for a woman that will be a helper. So original plan of God is that the two will be working together. The helper cannot walk outside the one she's been called to help. So God's original plan, his original plan, is for yourself and your husband to work together. It's for both of you to build together. The Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, those that build labor in vain. So it's time to put away all the bickering. It's time to put away all the fighting. You want to advance. You know something that I've seen, I've noticed that couples who work together do it better. Couples who work together advance faster. They have more speed. So it's time to put away all the suspicion. It's time to put away all the fighting. It's time to put away all the individuality and then come together as a stronger force, because one will chase 1,000. One of you will chase just 1,000. But when both of you come together, you can chase 2,000. Hallelujah. And I believe that there's nothing that God cannot do. You may have been walking your separate paths, but I'm sure you're fed up. You're fed up of doing your accounts alone, fed up of buying your houses alone, fed up of handling your investments alone. You want to put your resources together, because when you do, there's usually a multiplier effect. Amen. Two will do much more. Amen. Even with companies that are bigger, they have more economies of scale because they are doing bigger things. Praise the Lord. So let's quickly run to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 up to 28. We're still looking at the original plan, because if you understand God's original plan, then you're able to adjust yourselves, you know, to get into what God really wants you to do. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If you look from verse 26, you may find out several times the scriptures refers to them. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. And then God created them, male and female. And then God blessed them. And God said to them again. So he kept referring to them. So it's in the unity that we have the fruitfulness and the multiplication. He says, because God has blessed them, then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So your multiplication in every area of your lives as a family is in the unity that God has originally ordained for you. Praise God. So the Lord made a help that is meet, and then blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and have dominion. Amen. So that's God's original plan. When Adam found Eve in verse 23 of chapter 2, verse 23 of chapter 2, the Bible says that Adam said, now this is, I want to read that properly. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In God's mathematics, it is no more 1 plus 1 equals 2. In God's mathematics, it is 1 plus 1 equals 1. This is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. We're looking at God's original agenda for the family. Verse 25 of the same scripture, chapter 2, says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were both open to themselves. I mean, when you're naked before someone, you know, as a virtuous woman, you know how it feels when you're naked. You don't even want, sometimes your husband, you feel a bit uncomfortable when he's looking. But the Bible says they were both naked and they were not ashamed. That's God's original plan. God does not want us to have hidden agendas. God does not want us to do things behind our spouses. It's not in his plan. And I know you want to obey God. You know, I hear in my heart someone is saying, but my husband did it to me first, so I've learned to do the same thing. I've learned to keep things away from him. No. The Bible says God's original plan is for both of you to be open. And two wrongs will never make a right. If your husband is listening now, he's learning that it was not God's plan for him to keep that thing away from you. It was not God's plan for him to keep that secret account. It was not God's plan for him to make that investment behind you. And you shouldn't do the same. Two wrongs will never make a right. So no secret agendas, no hidden accounts, no secret accounts. That's not in God's plan. That's not God's original agenda. You know, my husband always tells the story of a husband who was having a secret account and had a secret PIN number. And one day he forgot this number and he needed to get money out of the account. If he had enough sense, he should have told the wife the PIN number. And somebody, his helpmate, would have reminded him what the number was. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31 tells us, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and these two shall become one flesh." 1 plus 1 in God's mathematics is not 2. If you've been calculating 1 plus 1 in your marriage equals 2, I want you to change your arithmetic. 1 plus 1 in God's mathematics and God's arithmetic is 1. And 1 Peter chapter 3 again says that we're heirs together, we're inheritors together of the grace of life. And if a man does not want his prayers to be hindered, if he wants his prayers to be answered, 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 and 8 tells him that he has to see his wife as a joint heir of the grace of life. So anything outside this is contrary to God's plan and contrary to God's agenda. So everyone should be careful to do what God's want. Don't say, "I'm going to buy my house," and you're going to buy your house. "I'm going to buy my TV," and you're going to buy your TV. When you do that, you're preparing for divorce. When you say, "Oh, I'm doing that because of the rainy day, I don't know what's going to happen," you're making preparations for divorce, and that's not what you want. So don't even give the devil a landing space in your home. There's nothing like, "I want to buy my own car," and you buy your own car. Of course, this could be your car because you drive it, but it's come out of joint resources. Amen. And next, we're going to look at the benefit of unity. You know, God never tells us anything that is not beneficial to us. He's a good God, and when he gives you a plan, when he gives you an agenda, it's because it's beneficial to you. Remember the reason why you tell your child not to play with fire, because you know that fire will burn that child. Your child may not understand it and is wondering, "Mommy, but why can't I touch? It's so sparkling, it's so shiny and all that, it's so bright." Your child wants to put his or her hands into fire, but you know better. And so God knows better. When he tells us to walk in unity, you know, he knows that there are benefits. Look at every marriage that is working. Someone has paid a price to make sure that the unity stands. Amen? Because united we stand and divided we fall. Amen? A house that is divided against itself cannot stand. You have to start speaking with one voice. It may not be comfortable, it may not be convenient, but you need to begin to speak with one voice. One voice to your children, one voice to your parents, one voice to the outside world. Because let me tell you something. People tend to respect the integrity of a marriage when they see that the couple are united. I'm telling you the truth. You know, when people notice that your marriage is not united, they don't respect the integrity of your family. And they can say different things to one person and all that. What I always actually say is that the day anybody has the guts and the courage to report your husband to you and look at your face and tell you, "You know, your husband is this or your wife is this," I tell you, that's not just an insult to your spouse, it's an insult to you. Because if they know, it's like your friend. You know, some friends come and they say, "Oh, someone so and so said this." And I said, "How long did they sit to talk to you about me?" And this friend says, 30 minutes. You know what I do? I begin to wonder, if you are really my friend, how come you sat down for 30 minutes to hear all this trash about me? So someone must have seen some trace of disloyalty, and that's why they could sit you down for 30 minutes to talk about me. In the same vein, Don't let anyone talk down on your family. Because when people see that you're not integrated, you're not united, then it gives them room to insult the integrity of your marriage and integrity of your home. So let's look at the benefits of unity. Number one benefit, we'll look at the story in the book of Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1 says, the people of the whole earth were of one language and of one speech. The people of the whole earth were of one language and they were of one speech. My goodness, if the people of the earth, the whole people of the earth at that time, I don't know how many they were, but if they were of one language and of one speech, then it's possible for just you and your husband, just both of you, it's possible for both of you to be of one language and of one speech. You know what I tell people? Is even when you disagree with what your spouse is saying in public, as much as possible, except when it is life-threatening, except when it is life-threatening, you know, you can wait and get home and say, honey, I don't think that opinion was right. But don't go blabbing before people, you know, to say, oh, I told her, you see, that's how she thinks. Or I told him, that's how he reasons. That's disgraceful. You're bringing down the integrity of your marriage. Amen. The Bible says they were of one language. They were of one speech. Before everybody, you can be of one language and of one speech. And if you have differences, you can sort it out when you get back into your room so that others don't have to know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these people in Genesis chapter 11 had a plan that they wanted to achieve. They wanted to build this tower. And Bible tells us in chapter 11 verse 6 that behold, the people is one. The people is one. Of course, you know very well that English is not my first language, but I know very well that you cannot say the people is one. And God is not making a mistake either. It's not a grammatical error. God was trying to make an emphasis that the people at that time had one voice. The people is one. And God says, this is God himself speaking. He said, and they all have one language. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Say to yourself, nothing. Nothing shall be restrained from you that both of you imagine to do, so long as you are united. I'm not talking about just face value unity. But when both of you pull in your resources together, your economies of scale become better, you begin to develop multiplier effects. Because one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 2,000. When both of you merge your skills together and begin to do what you need to do, everything you've planned, I'm sure you've planned at the beginning of the year. You wanted to do this. You have your list of the things that you wanted to achieve by the end of the year. For some of you, maybe because of arguments, you've had to put away some projects, but this is the time to bring back that project on the table and decide that there is nothing that you've imagined to do that you cannot do. It's not impossible, so long as both of you agree to do it together. Amen. So God tells us that the people of Genesis 11 had no limits, they had no barriers, they had no boundaries, because they decided, they proposed in their heart that they will do this thing together. What is the plan that you've had as a couple this year? Bring it back to the drawing table and decide that nothing will hinder you. When the enemy wants to bring disunity, tell him, Satan, we rebuke you. We are not going to be disunited. We are going to be together on this project, and we will stand together until we see our house built. We will stand together until we see our children finish their education. We will stand together until we see daddy finish his education. You know, so it's good to work together in unity. That's what God is telling us in Genesis 11. Amen. Praise the Lord. And do not let anything come against your unity. Even the children, even as the kids begin to come, maybe you don't have kids yet, you've just married, as kid number one comes, don't let them come between you. Both of you are together. Put them by the side and let that be one big family as you keep holding your hands round in a big circle as one big family. That's the plan of God, to stay in unity. But the hand of the husband must be right next to the hand of the wife. Don't have kids and then put them in between both of you. Don't have kids and then even at 5 years old, your kids are sleeping with you. That's affecting the unity on your marriage bed. That's affecting the unity of your home. I want to wish you all the best and a united family. I'm waiting to hear your testimony of what God has done. I'll see you next week on Wisdom for Women. Don't forget, if you have any questions, you can reach me personally on askpastormarge@triumphant.org.uk. God bless you and have a lovely week. See you next week. Bye.
When women pray, great things happen. Dear woman of God, I have stayed in the presence of God, and in His presence I have known great peace, which I pray will become your portion as you pray daily with me by means of audio or your CD. Expect the Lord to come through for you in all areas of your life: family, marriage, ministry, children, finances, and your health.
To place your order, please telephone us on 020-7700-4994 or visit our website at www.triumphant.org.uk. Today's message is available on CD, audio and video tapes. Also available on audio tapes are Pastor Clem Esamoah's dynamic series, Feel My Heartbeat, designed to help married couples. Plus, Pastor Marjorie Esamoah's books, Children Are Like Olive Plants and Overcoming in Gilgal. To place your order, please telephone us on 020-7700-4994 or visit our website at www.triumphant.org.uk. If you have been blessed by today's message and need prayer, our prayer team is waiting to take your call.